Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, and Judy.
It's a hard one to follow.
Yes.
I think I was about 10 or 11 the first time I ever flew in a plane. Now, I had learned in school the concept of the shape of a wing and how air flowing over the wing would create lift. And so I knew that intellectually. But when I got on that plane, and I was excited. I thought, man, this is really going to be neat. And we started rumbling down the runway at Stapleton International Field in Denver. You know, I wasn't so sure. I mean, I don't know how smooth that runway was, but it seemed to me like that whole plane was shaking. And I started thinking, number one, does this principle really work? And number two, is this bucket of bolts going to make it to the end of the runway? But it did. It actually lifted off, and the plane went up in the air. And in that moment, I looked around, and fortunately, I had been kind of at the back of the plane where I didn't have a wing right underneath me, and I was in a window seat, and I could look down, and I could see the farms and the landscape of eastern Colorado going underneath me, and I just was filled with awe that I was flying and that I could see all that that was going on. And the only word that I could really relate to it until to this day is awe, a sense of awe. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out. Looks like we have a few clouds out there, but we always know that behind those clouds, that beautiful sun is shining just like it is in Hawaii. Thank you, Stephen and Doran, for joining us today. It's so good to see you. Thanks for visiting us. And welcome to everyone today at the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. The title of my talk today is The Courage to Do the Right Thing. Many times in our lives, we are presented with situations where we either get to make a choice, make a decision, or we can look at it as we're being forced to make a decision. And in that, we are tasked with making the right choice. And so today, this talk is The Courage to Do the Right Thing. And I have three major points. One of us, each one of us is an individualized expression of God. Number two, each one of us has the power of discernment. And number three, each one of us, we are all naturally courageous. So first of all, each one of us is an individualized expression of God. About a lifetime later, after that first time I was ever in an airplane, and one of the classes right here at the center, it dawned on me that I really am a child of God. That each one of us have been made by that divine creative force. The same force that made all of the heavens and earth, that made all of everything, made me. And when that finally really dawned on me and sunk into my consciousness, my awareness, I was filled with that same sense of awe. Me, made by the creative force, the creative power of the universe. I had a video, and if you get a chance to view it sometime, you can, you know, search for it on YouTube or even Google it. But Maya Angelou has just an amazing video. I was going to try and show it today, but we're another week or two away from practicing to be able to do it. So I do want to go over the highlights with it. And Maya Angelou starts off and she talks about what she has learned in her life. And it must be toward the end of her life. And she talks about it. And she says that her life has been like a class. And what did she learn in her class? And she said the biggest thing she learned in her life class is that she is a child of God. That the creative force that made all of everything made me. She talked about the fleas and the mountains and the rivers and the stars made me. That same thing made me. And then she went on to say, and what I pray for is humility. Humility to know that there is something greater than me out there. And then she went on to talk about how the brute, the bigot, and the batterer are all children of God, whether they know it or not. And I am supposed to treat them accordingly as a child of God. And she confesses that it is hard. And she says, and I blow it all the time. So then she turns and references a quote from Terence where he says, I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. So all of those things that people do that are bad, criminals, the worst things you can think of, are done by humans. And you have all of the capacity for that within you as well. You may think, I could never do that. But you have all of those components within you to do those very heinous things that people have done. Nothing human can be alien to me. Now, if we look at that from the standpoint of the negative, those horrible things, those crimes that people have done, and we can see past that, what about the positive? What about the other side of that coin? That means that within you also is all the capacity, all the ability to have the spirituality of Jesus or Moses or Lao Tzu. Also within you is the capacity to have all of the scientific knowledge of Einstein. All of the philosophy of Plato is all within you. That same capacity, that same ability is within you. Ernest Holmes wrote, the great and only awakening that can ever come to man is when he becomes aware of the fact that that which enables him to think, to be conscious, to be creative, is the mind of God active within him. We are all children of God. Point number two, we all have the power of discernment. Part of how we think and how we know right from wrong is cultural. We learn it. It's a learned thing of what's right and what's wrong. But that culture can be vastly different at different times. I mean, many years ago, I gave a talk, and I remember this point that I made, that in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable. In fact, it's required to eat with your hands. And I can just hear the mother talking to the baby and saying, put that fork down and eat with your hands. You have no idea whose mouth that fork has been in. It's part of the culture. In some cultures, some certain societies, cannibalism and human sacrifice were part of those cultures. Today we don't see that, but at that time in that culture, it was perfectly accepted to have Mary for dinner. And not quite in the way we would say that today. Or to sacrifice Joe. It was okay. Goodbye, Joe. But there's something else inside of us that knows. Once again, I go to Ernest Holmes. There is one spirit incarnated in everyone, an immortal presence forever expanding everything, causing everything to grow. What a difference it would make in our human relations if we tried to sense the meaning of this divine incarnation in all people and adjust our viewpoint to the truth that all are bound together in the unity of God. To me, and this isn't from anything I read, this is just Don's homespun philosophy, but there is kind of a continuum. You know, we have on one side, we have instinct, pure animal instinct. And then on the other, we have intuition, human intuition, where we just kind of know things. We have an intuitive feeling about things. So we've got instinct and intuition, and I think that between these two mountain ranges, we have a plateau, a big plateau of understanding. And I found an author, a scientist, Dr. Lisa Miller, and she is an author. She wrote a book called The Spiritual Child. Lisa Miller is a doctorate at Columbia University, and she has developed within Columbia University the Spirituality and Mind-Body Institute. And the way she was able to study spirituality within people was by studying twins that had been separated and seeing how they related. And from that, she could see the effect of environment, of teaching on the separated twins to see what the differences were. What the conclusion that she came to is that two-thirds of our spirituality, which I relate to our values and our ideas of right and wrong, come from socialization, from our culture. It's what we are taught. But there is another, a full third of this spirituality, this idea of our values and right from wrong, that is totally innate. It just comes with us. It's in our genes. It's how we are. We seem to just know the difference between right and wrong. Dr. Miller goes on and she calls this a child's special knowing. And I think that all of us have within us a child's special knowing. Ernest Holmes says pretty much the same thing. The criterion for any man as to what is right or wrong for him is not to be found in some other man's judgment. The criterion is, does the thing I wish to do express more life, more happiness, more peace for myself, and at the same time harm no one? If it does, it is right. It is not selfish. But if it is done at the expense of anyone, then in such a degree, we are making wrong use of the law. My third point is that we are all naturally courageous. So what do we mean by courage? What is courage and how do we get it? Courage. Winston Churchill said, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Clement Stone said, have the courage to say no. Have the courage to face the truth. Do the right thing because it is right. These are the magic keys to living your life with integrity. And if we can accept the very idea that we are children of God, perfect in every way in all that we do, and that we have within us the power of discernment, then courage comes to us naturally and easily. We are often presented with those times in our lives when we have to make a decision. We come to a fork in the road, and we need to decide which way to go. And it is in those moments that define us as to who we are. But if we can do that from a platform of being aware of our own divinity, that sense of awe that we are children of God. And we can do so from a platform of, as Holmes talked about, not harming anyone else and doing something that enhances life, that brings more joy, more peace, more love into our lives, then that is the right choice. That is the way to go. What I want everyone to take away today is that we are all faced with those choices all the time. And yeah, we're like Maya Angelou. We make a mistake. A lot of the times we make mistakes. But if we can back up and realize that we are children of God, and that is how we learn, is through our mistakes, then we can step forth and do the right thing in the future. We are all faced with those decisions. Should I or should I not? When we realize that the brute, the bigot, and the batterer are all children of God, and that I am a human being, and nothing human can be alien to me, then we can use that third of our spirituality, that third of our brains that intuitively tells us right from wrong, to determine what is right, to bring more happiness, more peace. We can express more life and harming no one, and then we can act with courage and awe. And so it is with that sense of awe, that sense of awareness of our own inherent divinity, that I ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding the truth for our congregation, seeing each and every person as a magnificent and beautiful, powerful child of God, and knowing that within each and every one of us is a pattern of perfection. And it is that pattern of perfection that I call forth in this moment. Whether it be a health challenge that we face, we know that there is an inherent within us always pattern of perfection, a blueprint of perfect health. And it is that blueprint, that pattern that I call forth. We know that as we live and move and have our being, that sometimes we are confronted with what appears to be lack and limitation and not enoughness. But the blueprint of perfection, that pattern of perfection, is that we live in an abundant universe. And it is that where we focus our attention, on the abundance of the universe. For each and every one, a power, a presence, a magnificent, abundant universe. And for those who are experiencing separation, separation from loved ones, separation in work situations, separation in family relations, separation in romantic relationships, it's all separation. It's separation from God. And what I know to be true is that this pattern of perfection that is inherent with each and every one of us is a pattern of love, God's love. And it is always there. It is only our feeling that we have separation, our opinion that we are separated. The truth is that we're never separated from God. And since each and every one of us are products of God, we cannot be separate from one another. And so we set aside our earthly differences. We set aside the things that may separate us, may appear to separate us, and we embrace the truth, and that is that each and every one of us is a magnificent child of God, and we approach each other with God's love. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of the power, the presence of God in my life and in the life of each and every one. I give thanks for the health, for the prosperity, the abundance, and the love of God. I release this word to the working of law. I let it go. I let it be. And so it is.